Grace, mercy, and peace be unto all of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon, entitled, It's All About the Cornerstone, comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 20th chapter, focusing especially on these verses. But he looked directly at them and said, What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So this is my first time in Richmond, and my first time here at Trinity. Looking around, I can see that your church building is unique. The A-frame with the stained glass window is truly a work of art, a beautiful example of sacred architecture. The architect really knew what he was doing. That would not have been the case, however, if I had been hired to build this church. You see, my friends, there are several jobs that I know I would never be good at. And one of them is an architect. I appreciate the work of all good architects because I know they do important work. We all like having places to live, for example. But I sense that if you wanted to build a house, or any structure for that matter, I am not the guy you want to hire. I am awful with tools. I find math kind of boring. And I don't have the skill set to be a good builder. So just for the record, if you ever hire me as your architect, you are putting yourselves in a very dangerous position. You have been warned. But even though I'd make a terrible architect, I do know something about buildings. I know that for buildings to last long term, they need a good foundation. And I know from observing people that all of us are builders in one way or another, because all of us have foundations upon which we build our lives. Things that are so important to us that our lives are simply not possible without these things. So the question is not whether you have a foundation. The question is rather, what is the foundation upon which you have built your life? Some of us build our lives on our careers, our success at work. Some of us build our lives on our relationships, how close we are to people we love and care about. Others among us build our lives on our intelligence, how much we know and how clever we can be. And some of us make the foundation of our lives our devotion to the church, how much we do for God and how much time we spend working to serve the people of God. But whatever our foundation may be, we all have one. The question to consider is this. Is there a foundation that God wants us to build our lives on? And if so, what is that foundation? Well, there is an answer to those questions in today's gospel reading. In our text, Jesus spends a lot of time talking about a vineyard that actually represents the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. He borrows this image from the Old Testament itself, for Isaiah, in chapter 5, verse 7 of his book, speaks of how the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Jesus also talks about how the workers in that vineyard, the religious leaders of Israel, have turned against the true God and have rejected his will. And for their faithlessness, responsibility for the vineyard will be taken from them and given to others. But at the end of our text, Jesus shifts from talking about a vineyard to a certain cornerstone. Now, in architecture, a cornerstone is the first stone set in the construction of a building. All the other stones are then set in relation to the first stone. In short, a cornerstone is the stone upon which everything else is built and upon which everything else depends. From what Jesus says about this cornerstone, it is apparent that in God's eyes, everything depends on how you respond to this single stone. What you do with this cornerstone determines whether God will show you mercy or condemnation, whether you will be forever safe or crushed into pieces. So what is this cornerstone? That seems evident enough. The cornerstone is Jesus himself. And there is a sense from the parable that everything depends on how you respond to this cornerstone. In short, how you respond to Jesus determines how God will look at you, whether the foundation of your life will be acceptable to him or not. But because this parable is so clearly directed against the Jewish religious leaders, we might think it has little to do with us. We understand that the religious leaders rejected Jesus, and that is why they were rejected as the leaders of God's people. But we accept Jesus as our cornerstone, don't we? That's why we're in church today. So as scary as the end of this reading may be, it doesn't seem to apply to us. Right? But let's think about this some more. I invite all of you to ask yourselves a question. What is most important to you? What is the foundation of your life? Is it Jesus Christ? Or is it something else? Do you trust in Jesus to give you all good things? Do you believe that he has done everything necessary to provide for you? Do you believe that Christ is the most important thing in your life? Without him, do you have nothing? And if you only have him, do you have everything you need? If any part of you is unable to say yes to those questions, if somewhere inside you are wavering, then I fear you have an opposing foundation in your life. There is something else that competes with Jesus' importance to you. It might be your career, your relationships, your intelligence, or even your religious piety. Or it could be something else. But it is there. And whatever this thing is, it acts as another God for you. For in his explanation of the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," Luther reminds us that a god is simply that to which we are to look for all good and in which we are to find refuge in all need. This means that we must hear the warning that Jesus gives. Even we Christians can stumble over the cornerstone to which we've been joined. Even we can detach ourselves from our beloved Savior and fall under the wrath of God for rejecting his Son. And the saddest part is that we can reject Christ even when we think we are being faithful to him. Remember that the religious leaders thought they were faithful to God. That is why Jesus angered them so greatly, why they wanted to seize him and kill him after he told this parable, because they thought they were faithful to God and that Jesus was the enemy of God. And when he accused them of rejecting God and warned them of God's coming wrath upon them, that's when they wanted to kill him. And make no mistake, the religious leaders knew that Jesus told this parable against them. We learned that in our text. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. That's why they wanted to kill him right at that moment. And they would do so in less than a week. For remember that this story occurs after Jesus has triumphantly entered Jerusalem. Within a few days, he will be betrayed, arrested, condemned, and led outside of the city of Jerusalem to be put to death on a cross. So beware, my friends, of thinking that because we are Christians, we don't need to hear Jesus' warning. Even we can fall over Christ, the cornerstone, by rejecting him outright, by thinking that we don't really need him, certainly not as much as we did when we first became Christians. Or we can remake Jesus to suit our own desires. Now, how do we do that, you might be asking? We do it whenever we ignore or change, even just a bit, the words that Jesus speaks to us in Holy Scripture, because we don't like what they say to us, what Jesus says to us. So be on your guard, brothers and sisters, and beware of chasing other foundations for your life, other cornerstones, instead of the one whom God has provided for you through his Son. What can we do then, you might ask? How can we build ourselves on Christ, our cornerstone? We start by recognizing that we do not build ourselves on him by our own efforts. In addition to being our cornerstone, Christ is the one who builds us on himself and who keeps us built on him. For we learn in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 20, that we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And that in Christ, we are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Notice the verbs, by the way. We are not building ourselves into the household of God. We ourselves are built into this household by God himself. God is the one doing the building, and he does so through Christ, the cornerstone. When you recognize that Christ is the one who builds you on himself, there is so much comfort to be found there. Because if it were up to us to build ourselves on him, then all would be lost. We are all too easily tempted to wander away from Christ, even as Christians. Other foundations compete for our allegiance, and we give in to their temptations all too easily. But Jesus is the faithful one. Though we may wander from him, he will not let us go. Remember, as he says in Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter, 10th verse, he came to seek and save those who are lost. He comes to seek us and lays down his life for us. He becomes our cornerstone so that we may know God's love, even though we are sinners, because Jesus is God's beloved Son. And anyone who is built on him lives under the love of God as well. Because however sinful you may be, your cornerstone is far greater than your sin. And we can be assured that whoever is built on Christ has the only reliable foundation for life, the only foundation that cannot and will not ever fail us. Even when he was rejected by Israel and put to death by her leaders, Jesus could not remain rejected forever. Though his body was broken to pieces, God raised him from the dead in a glorified body. And by raising Jesus from death, God affirmed that he is his Son and that Jesus is God's own cornerstone, the one sure foundation for our lives, and the one foundation that guarantees God's love for us. So how do you make Jesus your cornerstone, your foundation? You don't, my friends. He makes himself your cornerstone. He is the one who has come for you, who allowed himself to be rejected and crushed for you, who was chosen as God's own cornerstone for your sake, so that through him you might be forgiven all your sins, be reconciled to God, and live under God's mercy forever. You don't make him the foundation of your life. He has made himself the foundation of your life. And he is the one who keeps you built on him. So don't worry about how you can build yourself on Jesus, or think that staying built on him depends on how much you trust in him or how strong your faith is. To trust in Jesus, to believe in him, is nothing more than to see your need for his mercy and to know that he has done everything necessary to save you. To know that however far you may wander, he will not let you go. He will keep you built on himself, and he will preserve you in faith unto life everlasting. You build your life on Jesus by seeing that he has built your life upon himself, and that he is the one who will keep you there. Then you will find real hope, my friends, and an assurance that cannot be broken, because it is built upon the only cornerstone that cannot be broken. A cornerstone whose name is Jesus Christ. Amen.